Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to Unity Center of Light, bringing another service from our home to your home. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pam Mosby.
And today we look forward to bringing you, it's going to call the beginning, the Christmas Spirit series with, it's the Advent series, and the first one today, of course, will be Faith. But we look forward to bringing you that service today, and we will get started with Pamela.
Thanks. Good morning. And welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement together. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. And now we will have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, November the 29th. The key word is faith, and the affirmation is my faith lights my path and guides my way. As Advent season begins, my thoughts turn to faith. I believe in my capacity to be hopeful, assured, and strengthened as I embark on this journey of faith. Faith keeps me open to discovering reasons to have hope, even when I do not yet see any evidence for my hopefulness. Faith gives me assurance that my indwelling divinity will lead me to accomplish all that I set out to achieve. Faith fortifies me with the necessary strength to transcend my limited human knowledge, allowing divine wisdom to guide my thoughts and actions. I believe in good things to come, and I believe in my ability to bring those things into manifestation. I am grateful for the gift of faith. And the scripture is Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Okay. Thank you, hon. So as we said, this is the beginning of Advent. Of course, today is on faith. And we're going to begin by reading, actually, first thing we're going to let you know, this is the lighting of the first candle. We will light a candle each week until we have four candles up, standing for faith, peace, love, and joy. And this is the faith candle. And what we want to look at, what we're going to do is read to you, and also allow you to see it as well, what is sort of an introduction to this Advent season. So the Advent journey, the four weeks preceding Christmas are referred to as Advent. Advent means the coming, and it refers to the coming of the Christ. It has meaning for us today, not just as it refers to the birth of Jesus, but also as it unfolds for us the possibility for the Christ to be born anew in us daily, moment by moment.
When we prepare for this birth, we are preparing our consciousness to be receptive to the understanding of Christ ideas and Christ awareness. We can use this time of Advent and the symbols of the Christmas season to keep this ongoing possibility alive for us.
The Advent wreath, an evergreen wreath with four candles, is symbolic of God's endless love. This love has infilled us with the hope, along with the hope, the promise that our longing will be fulfilled. Each Sunday, a new candle is lit, and each candle representing a virtue of life, faith, peace, love, and joy.
The first candle represents faith and is symbolized by a candle itself. We light a candle in faith, the faith that it will transform the darkness.
And taking this first step in preparation for the illumining birth of the Christ within, our faith knows spiritual illumination is possible in any area of darkness in our lives.
It is the belief that it is possible for faith to be the light of understanding, the light of abundant life, the light of hope, which assures we are all in God's care and all is well.
And so it is. All right. Thank you,
Don. And now we will have the message with Reverend Bush.
Thank you. Okay. So, as I said, we are beginning this Advent journey, the spirit of Christmas, faith, and this is following a little bit along with the Advent booklet, if you had a chance to get one from Unity, and I think also both Patty included it in the weekly update in April and the e-newsletter, so you should be get a copy of that for yourself. So, I want to start out with a proverb. It's Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. And we read, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, submit to God, and God will make straight your path." Let me say that again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to God, and God will make straight your path. Okay, now most of our lessons explore the how-tos of this scripture. And we will continue along this path as we enter into Advent. Now, today is the beginning of the Advent season where we explore the spiritual attributes of faith, peace, love, and joy. And each year we dig a little deeper into the understanding of the full potential that these spiritual attributes have. And as usual, we begin by diving deeper into how to live our lives with hope and faith. Now, in this year's Advent booklet, it refers to the Christmas attributes of faith as hope and faith. It's tying these two together as a spiritual progression from five sensory consciousness, which is hope, to the kingdom of heaven consciousness, which is faith. And we're going to talk a lot about that in this this lesson about, and we've talked about this before, about faith and hope, and I think it is in the beginning of this year's Advent booklet, it talks about faith and hope. But we're going to look more deeply at the metaphysical dynamics behind those two. So again, this is the first Sunday of Advent season. It's the beginning of a solemn, beautiful, wondrous, journey that will take us to right up to Christmas Day. And Advent is a period beginning at beginning of the fourth Sunday, which is, leading up to Christmas. And it's observed by many Christians as a season of prayer, fasting, and penitence in preparation for Christmas. So the dictionary says that Advent means the coming or arrival of something extremely important. And the Advent journey is described as being solemn because it's a deeply earnest and serious journey. Meaning you embark upon this journey with your heart, mind, and soul fully committed to what is required for spiritual transformation. Okay. Now, as the opening scripture expressed, "In all your ways submit to God." And that's what we're going to talk about. "In all your ways submit to God." And again, if you were with us for the series we just completed, we talked a lot in there about this dynamic or this concept about how to submit all our ways to God. God is in charge of my life and affairs. God is in charge of my body, life, and affairs. That's sort of the main idea that we're working with. So the Advent journey eventually leads to a divine awakening. And again, that's what we've been talking about almost every Sunday, this idea of awakening from this dream that we are not, we're not one with God. So it's the beginning of that divine awakening in the minds of those who take this seriously. As you heard it said before, God is constantly begetting the only begotten. And that which God is constantly begetting is the awakening of our awareness to the Christ presence within each one of us. So this begetting of the Christ idea happens every time that we choose to leave the world and go within in prayer and silence to submit to God in all our ways, all right? So let me say that again. This beginning of the Christ idea happens every time we choose to leave the world and go within in prayer and meditation, entering into the silence where our intention is to submit to God in all our ways, all right? Now, going within to submit to God in all our ways is the focus of this series of Advent lessons. And this spiritual preparation for Easter is not just about the the Christmas season, for this Christ awakening to manifest within us, we must work at this continuously every moment of every day. Now, as it's written in 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Now, this is a key scripture that reinforces all of the lessons in the past several weeks about awakening from sense consciousness to kingdom of heaven consciousness. Okay? And, you know, the will of God in Christ Jesus is a process by which Jesus awakened to become the full embodiment of the Christ. So when it says the will of God in Christ Jesus, it's talking about the will of God really is for us to wake up, all right? And again, last week we talked about that idea, that God does not enter into the dream, but God strives to wake us up from the dream to realize who we really are. And the will of God in Christ Jesus is that Jesus went through that process of completely waking up and realizing who he was. Okay? So, and this is also the will of God for each one of us, for us to wake up. Now remember, we are already the Christ, okay? But we're dreaming that we are not. All right? We're already the Christ, but we're dreaming that we are not. And this is our true mission, that being to discover for ourselves that Christ does exist within us as our hope of glory. And this is the purpose of this Advent series as we work, you know, work our way through the four parts of the series, faith, peace, love, and joy. And today the lesson focuses on understanding how faith can impact our Advent journey in a wonderful, powerful, uplifting way. And reading from the Advent booklet, it says, my faith is more than a passive state of being. It is the active energy that empowers my thoughts and brings them into manifestation. Okay, let me say it again. My faith is more than a passive state of being. Okay, so you really have to work at this. It is the active energy that empowers my thoughts and brings them into manifestation. Okay, so most of the time, when we say we have faith, what we're usually referring to is hope. Okay, we use these two concepts interchangeably in our normal everyday thinking and interacting with the circumstances and people in our lives. I hope that. Okay, that's what we will say. I hope that. And that is a powerful beginning statement, but we want to go to the next level of understanding the difference between hope and faith. Because these two concepts are not quite the same. Hope can lead to faith, but while faith signifies a deep knowing and connection to the power and presence that we call God, our use of the word hope is often referring to positive thinking about some future occurrence. I hope that I will get the job. I hope that, you see what I'm saying? Those are the positive thinking mechanisms. But faith takes a spiritual path, believing in things unseen while being comfortable in the unknown, meaning not needing to know how, when, or where our prayers will be answered, okay? While hope usually takes a sensory path that needs to know how, when, and where the things asked for in prayer will appear, okay? So for a closer examination of hope, let's refer to the revealing word. It says, hope is the expectation of something you want or need, coming to you in the future. Hope is a quality of the human mind that bases its sense of reality on that which can be clarified or affirmed by the five senses. When you are hopeful about something, it is usually because you have in mind a specific outcome you're hoping will manifest according to your predetermined design. Okay, so hope is sort of... We are in charge of our life and affairs. Where faith is, God is in charge of my life and affairs. All right. So faith, faith can take you to places that you didn't even know were possible. See, hope is hoping for something that you kind of know is potentially possible, and you're hoping that it'll be possible. And again, nothing wrong with that. But the key here is that faith is going to take you to places you did not even know were possible. Okay? You are open and receptive to God's living spirit of truth when you're coming from faith. And it's not that you do not, you know, define what you want. It is more that you are open and receptive to this or something greater. So when you're operating from faith, it's just that. This, Lord, or something greater. Okay? Faith is miracle-oriented. And this is not to say that hope does not evoke miracles, because it does. All right? Now listen carefully. It is just that faith inspires us to step out of the material realm and into the spiritual realm where miracles come from. Okay? While hope is waiting for the miracle to come out of the spiritual realm and into the material. You get what I'm saying? So when you're operating from faith, you're moving from this five sensory intellect right into the spiritual realm. You are stepping into the place where answers happen, okay? But hope typically keeps you in the material realm where you are, again, hoping that this thing that you want will come to you, whereas faith puts you to where the answer that you're looking for actually exists. So faith is comfortable with the unknown. And to quote Martin Luther King, he said, "Only in the darkness can you see the stars." Now, we could equate this to taking time to close our eyes and enter into the stillness to pray for nothing more than a divine connection. And it is in this divine connection that you begin to see the stars, meaning the light of understanding. Now, in a past Advent booklet, it says, when you face challenging situations in your life, you might tell yourself you need more faith. This isn't true. You already have all the faith you need, because the totality of faith is already in your consciousness. Faith is one of the spiritual powers with which we are endowed. Faith waits patiently within you, ready to be set free, and it can only be set free by you. You must release some faith if it is to be of use to you. Held within you, faith cannot do any of the work, you know, it has been designed to do. So we are in control of the faith power that already exists within us, okay? And faith breaks the bonds of space and time. And that's what we got to get in. So hope is you're usually working within space and time. You're hoping that something will happen within a certain time period. Whereas faith breaks the bonds of space and time, it is not subject to their limitations. Because faith is a divinely approved now experience. Right? Faith is not confined to the limited reasoning of the intellect that is trapped within the parameters of what it thinks it knows as being possible. Right? And that's how we operate a lot of times. We will have what we call faith, but it's really hope. But it's based on time, something happening within a certain space at a certain time, within the parameters that we have kind of designed or felt were possible in our mind. Right? Faith is fourth dimensional in nature. The fourth dimension being the transcendental realm that Jesus called the kingdom of heavens. Okay? Now, Jesus represents for us an example, a way shower, for us to follow to discover our Christ, our own Christ awareness. Now, I think we all strive to understand, how is it possible for us to get to what Jesus attained and when he proclaimed, "I and the Father are one." Okay. Now, we will say, "I and the Father are one," but we know that we really are not there yet. Okay. So we said to ourselves, well, how do I get to this place that Jesus, when he proclaimed, "I and the Father are one," and he was really there. And we have a struggle with that, even though he said to us, if he could do it, we can do it. Okay. And we're kind of going like, you know, I don't really understand that. Now, I want to read to you conceptually the metaphysics of how Jesus made this connection with God. And this is coming from the yoga of Jesus, understanding the hidden teachings of the gospel. And it's a little bit esoteric is the best way I can describe it. Okay. So Jesus felt his consciousness, attuned to the Christ consciousness, the only begotten reflection of God's intelligence expressed in the Holy Spirit vibration. He first felt his body as the entire vibratory creation in which his body was included. Then within his cosmic body, all of all creation, he experienced his oneness with God's innate presence as the infinite Christ or universal intelligence, a magnetic aurora, a blissful divine love in which God's presence holds all beings. Now, if you're thinking, wow, I really didn't get that, it's okay, right? It's okay. Because it is a contemplation of a complex explanation like this one that moves us out of our head and into the realm of spirit, the only place where we can fully comprehend it. You get what I'm saying? So, you know, when you're reading something like that, and I think this Paramahansa Yogananda, I think, is the author of that. When you're reading something like that, and you kind of go, I don't get that at all. Even when you're reading scripture, you say, I just don't get that at all. But when you contemplate it, because there is something in you that already knows what that is saying, all right, through your contemplation, you begin to awaken yourself to higher levels of consciousness till you get to the place where you get it. Does that make sense? Okay? So it's not an intellectual process of trying to memorize something. It's more of a contemplation saying, I don't really understand, but I'm willing to spend some time with it until I get to the place where I understand. Okay? So the question is, how comfortable are you with being out of your head? Okay? Because understanding what Jesus is teaching us requires us to get out of our head, just as faith requires us to get out of our head. Okay? See, hope keeps us in our head. Keep hoping and hoping. Faith gets us out of our head and into the spiritual realm where faith operates. So it's important that we understand that hope is a good thing, okay? But it is only the beginning of the spiritual journey, and it does not always recognize the immediacy of spirit. Instead, hope focuses on the unfolding of an event happening in the future, with faith calls for you to stand strong in your inner knowing that the universe is at work right now, manifesting all that you need and all that you're asking for. It is manifesting it right in this moment. But as we explored in previous lessons, for your prayer to be truly effective, there must be a congruent union in your thought and your emotion about the thing that you're praying for. Okay? And we talked about this in previous lessons, that just has to be this synchronicity between your thoughts and your emotions. You cannot be thinking one thing and feeling another, all right? And expect for this, whatever you're praying for, asking for, to come into experience, because there's a conflict going on inside of you. So that thought, the thoughts and emotions around the thing you're asking for must be congruent. And second, for your prayer to be answered, you must feel as if it has already been answered, okay? So we read in the Gospel of Thomas that Jesus said, when you make the two into one, then you will enter into the kingdom of heaven. When you make the two into one, then you will enter into the kingdom of heaven. The two being made one in this scripture is a union of thought and emotion, okay? And the kingdom of heaven is a realm of divine ideas. So faith transmutes divine ideas from the kingdom of heaven into the answers to our prayers. Let me say that again. Faith transmutes, changes the nature of divine ideas from the kingdom of heaven into the answers, you know, to our prayers. Again, we talk about Deepak says that the virtual realm, which we call God, is nothing but infinite potentiality. So faith takes that infinite potentiality and transmutes it into the answers to our prayers. So when you can bring thought and emotion together into one single harmonious expression of your heart's desire, that is when you activate your power of faith that inspires the universe into action to manifest what you are asking for in prayer. I hope that makes sense. Right? And this is when the scripture in Mark 11:24 becomes real for you. are real for us. It says, whatever you ask for in prayer, believing you have already received it. All right? Whatever you ask for in prayer, but at the same time, believing that you have already received it, it will be given to you. However, even though we also read the same idea in Matthew 7:7, it says, ask and it shall be given to you. It's important to understand that the unified field, okay, the virtual realm, whatever else you want to call it, aka God, okay, doesn't recognize your voice. God only recognizes the synchronous vibrations in your heart, the place in which thought and emotion have become one. Okay? So when you create the divine union of thought and emotion within your heart, believing your prayer has already been answered, that is what creates the magnetic field within you. Now listen carefully. That draws to you the answer you seek, okay? And as we evolve in our understanding of how the universe works, we begin to know that the answers to our prayers have already been prepared for us. Now, how do we know? We read in Isaiah 65:24, I will answer them before they even call to me. I will answer them before they even call to me. While they are still praying about their needs, I will prepare the answer to their prayers. Okay? So the answer to our prayers, to your prayers, have already been prepared for you. But it is faith, now listen carefully, it is faith that brings you to the answer. All right? Notice I said it is faith that brings you to the answer to your prayer, not the answer to you. The reason why is because the answer to our prayers exists at a level of consciousness different from where we are. In other words, if you're praying about something that you feel you need and you don't have, at your level of consciousness, you have not created the ability to produce it. So the fact that the answer is being created for you and has been created, you need to raise yourself to the level of consciousness where you can receive that answer. I hope that makes sense, because it's what we talk about all the time, okay? So, faith raises your consciousness to the realm where all your hopes and dreams are waiting for you. So if you're hoping, the hope keeps you at the level where you are, all right? Meanwhile, the answers to your prayers have already been manifested, have already been created in the esoteric realm, the realm of kingdom of heaven, or the fourth dimensional realm. And hope doesn't really get you there. But faith, that absolute faith of knowing that your prayer has already been answered. You've heard it in scripture. You've heard it in so many that your prayer has already been answered. But you need faith to raise you to the level of consciousness that will take you to the realm where your hopes and dreams are waiting for you. And if you're still wondering, well, how do I get to that level of faith? That's incredible level of faith. We find the answer in the unedited version of John 16:23-24, as it's written in the Gospel of Thomas. Okay, it says, "Whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, meaning in my nature, asking as I would ask, is what Jesus is saying. He will give it to you. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name." Again, meaning in my nature. Ask without hidden motive. And here's the important part. Be surrounded and enfolded by your answer. Be enveloped by what you desire. Until your gladness is made full. Okay. This is taking it to a whole nother level. Okay. This is, you are entering into a realm where your answers already exist, but to get there, that has to be the most dominant thing in your being to move you from one level of consciousness to the level where your answer exists. And without hidden motive means asking without any fear or doubt that what you're asking for, will not be given to you. Don't even think about the fact it won't be given to you. Just know that it's already been given to you. Right? Instead, you are to ask for absolute faith in the power and presence of God that is in your life. And you're not hoping Instead, you are asking, surrounded and enfolded by your prayer. You are enfolded in what you believe to be possible for you. And in other words, you are in a state of absolute certainty that you're being guided to what you are asking for right now. Okay? So when you ask, it's almost like, get ready, because you're going to start getting the guidance that you need to move you towards and lift you up to get you into that place where the answer, you know, you'll be able to perceive the answer. So in the book, The Power of Awareness by Neville, Neville explains, you must make your future dream a present moment fact now by assuming the feeling of your wish already fulfilled. Let me say it again. You must make your future dream a present moment fact now by assuming the feeling of your wish already fulfilled. And when you feel yourself becoming worried or fearful, it is in the stillness of prayer that you'll be able to discern that Spirit is at work in a particular situation in your life, and that all is being accomplished according to divine timing. Okay? And this is what is meant by the affirmation, everything is in divine order. Or the affirmation that I use continuously is, God is first in my life. Like, listen carefully. God is first in my life and is revealing to me the orderly process of my life. All right? So when things are happening in divine order, they're coming to you by right of consciousness. And to force something to come before to come to you before its time, meaning before you are consciously ready to receive it, is to establish a condition where you can easily lose it because it is not yours by right of consciousness. So that gets back to wrapping and unfolding ourselves in the prayer that we're doing, because we are making sure that every single cell in our body knows that we are worthy of this thing we are asking for. Okay? And that's developing the right of consciousness for the answer to your prayer. And even when there is no evidence that anything tangible is happening, faith workers know in their heart, mind, and soul that things are being worked out in perfect order. And they are comfortable with the fact that the order may not coincide with their perception of what the order should be. Okay? So as the scripture from the Gospel and Thomas says, you must remain enveloped by what you desire until your gladness is made whole. And yes, believe me, I know none of this is easy. So I'm going to leave you with this quote from Ernest Holmes to think about. It's from his book, Creative Mind and Success. All right? And it says, those who see most clearly and believe most implicitly will receive the greatest manifestation of their prayers. And so it is. Amen. And now we will have meditation with Pamela.
Let's give ourselves the gift of a few moments of being in meditation by getting comfortable right where we are and gently closing our eyes. Shift your gaze inward and take a gentle breath in and out. Father, I recognize the light of spirit that is my source and true nature. Focused on the light, I look with kindness upon my fears and worries, for they urge me to harness my great power of faith. By faith, I dare to see what cannot be seen by human eyes, but exists as surely as the sun exists behind a cloud. I trust in universal goodness so much so that I rest deeply in the peace of spiritual assurance. I remain faithful during times when my human brain cannot envision the magnificent possibilities of a healthful life, harmonious love, or boundless prosperity. Moving from fear to faith, I see my life through spiritual eyes. I trust in my divine identity as the greatest reality, and I live in joyous expectation. I now take the next few moments and take my power of faith with me into the silence of my soul. Here is where the work takes shape and our faith may be illumined. So join me on that journey to the secret place of the Most High, our place of faith, peace, love, and joy. A place we may enter into at any moment. We reach the door, and before we enter, we must empty our minds of emotional and mental baggage. And if there is physical baggage that is not serving us, allow that to fall away. So we take a step through the door. We take a seat. And as we do, we feel the light and life of God flowing around us, through us, and out into our world to bless others. And now use this precious time to communicate with Spirit, to receive answers to your prayers, and to be still. Thank you, gracious Spirit, that you have heard our prayers this morning and you have answered them as you always do. Holy Spirit, I am here, open and receptive to your living Spirit of truth. I am faith-filled because I know you are in control of my life and I am in control of my thoughts. I am blessed. And I am a blessing. And so in the name and nature of our elder brother and way-shower, Jesus the Christ, we do give thanks, and so it is. Amen. And when you are ready, come back to your surroundings and make this a wonderful day.
Thank you, hon. That was wonderful. So this is the time we open our hearts and minds and allow some of the treasure that flows into our personal lives and flow into our spiritual home. And as always, again, we give thanks for all of you who are continuing to support your spiritual home during this time. And we're going to do that by doing our offering blessing together. Together we bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. And so it is. Amen. You can do light notes,
huh? Yes, we have light notes for Sunday, November the 29th. Tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. will be our Courageous Conversation session with Reverend Butch. So please check the newsletter, e-newsletter, or updates for the link. We hope to see you there. Faith was the first lesson in our Advent series today, and we trust that you will join us each Sunday to learn more about how faith, peace, love, and joy can create a beautiful connection to all mankind and, of course, a divine, deep connection to Spirit. On December the 13th, we will have a special remembrance service called Lessons in Love with Reverend Butch. Please mark your calendars for that. And for Christmas Eve, we are having our Christmas Eve candle lighting service, and we're still seeking readers for our candle lighting service. So if you'd like to serve in this way, please contact April and let her know. And that concludes our light notes for today.
Okay. So are we getting ready to do our...
Bless the path.
Bless the path.
Right. So we're going to bless the path that we walk this week by saying our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto.
I go forward in the Spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful. All right. And now we will bless the path.
No, we just
I'm sorry, we just did that. We're going to do the
protection.
Prayer for protection.
Yes.
Okay. Together, the light of God surrounds us,
the love of God enfolds us,
the power of God protects us.
The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. Well, it's been our pleasure to bring you this service today, and we look forward to seeing everybody in Zoom, hopefully, right after this. We're having music, live music with Safi, and we're having one of our members, Pat, who's going to do a... interpretation of some incredible esoteric art that she's been doing. So we look forward to seeing you in Zoom, and have a wonderful week.
Yeah.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.